there now. It has to stay under scrutiny. But let's not forget the amount of money, public money, that's going to be thrown away if we kill any of these projects too soon. We have to give them a natural life.
Yeah. Or they're recognising that you know, there are other areas where we could spend the money that are crying out for it. So we just have
But I think there may be other money. Absolutely. Sure. But then we have to get it back on the books.
Yeah. Miles.
If we have four projects pending approvals, is it worth getting one or two other projects rolling so that if one of the four can't be taken forward, then we're in motion rather than starting from scratch?
That's a good point. I mean, Rhiannon, you have a beautiful...
Just up on here. So this is our agreed pipeline of projects. So the investment panel over the last meeting, they agreed some projects to progress with the amount of unspent currently available. But they agreed this additional £15 million pipeline of projects. Business cases for most of these projects are produced, but I think for those low down on this list, now I think it's worth having these conversations to these areas to say, have your business cases ready so that over in February or the next Council Business Board, if we are reallocating that funding, actually, you know, very quickly we can progress with these projects. Because it does take a fair amount of time to go, not just the funding being reallocated, but then actually for that project to come forward with a business case and be ready for a Council Business Board approval and, you know, get underway with their delivery of the project. So I think particularly after the February Council Business Board meeting, we'll be in touch definitely with the scheme promoters to say, you know, get the things ready to go.
Good. So are these the further 10 that where risks have been identified?
So there's further risk, I think, around these 10 projects that have been identified so far. So for these projects, they're not currently forecasting spend to be on the gradual period, but there are large amounts of funding being spent during the final year of the programme where there is some risk for slippage. So I think when we're talking about these decisions, I think we've had really, well, for my purpose, it's been really useful conversation today to consider these in detail, because I think what we don't want to do is say, actually, the pressure's off for these projects. Actually, they are going to have to come to this board and be really scrutinised and say why they should be gone the go to the road. So there's just a risk around, you know, some other projects as well. Thanks.
All right. Okay. Thank you for that, Rhiannon. We're done on that then. Thank you.
Can I just put a plea on those? I mean, the group worked really well together, and for transparency, I mean, Kent has handed back, I think, about 15 million. Because of projects that we had to accept and put it back as soon as we could do that. I think if any of these are likely, let's put it forward sooner rather than later, so we can do exactly what we're saying. I mean, that's not that we're not supporting them. It's just there will be moments when you have to say, hands up, we're beaten. And the sooner we can do that, then we won't be able to fight.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Graham, final. Put Graham and then Ron.
I think you were quite helpful if a letter went out from CELEP Secretariat expressing in slightly more formal terms what Jeff has just said. That would be not unhelpful in certain circumstances.
We'll mandate that. Thank you. Rob,
you're saying it wasn't formal, Graham?
Jeff, no, I expect florid language from you, from your thespian background.
I think across the whole Kent and Essex and East Sussex, I think we all work together. We work very well. We've supported each other's projects as they come through. Just in my own mind, we have a figure that what is that number the government will see we've actually achieved or we've been successful in the spend against being deemed as we've failed? Is it a certain percentage?
Yeah, we'll
need to have in the back of our minds.
That's a good question, Ron.
I think there's something about maintaining our positive reputation on delivery, because we've been consistently good on delivery.
We have
genuinely consistently good and one in the upper quartile of LEPs, if not in certain years, the best LEP in terms of spending LGF. So, you know, maintaining that's important. I mean, and I think, you know, none of the numbers in any of the master spreadsheets, we can send you the detail, Ron, you know, are concerning. I think the approach we're taking is one of, you know, it's a really sensible approach to make sure that we can continue that trajectory of getting the spend away. Because
it's really important.
Adds to that case of, you know,
our credibility.
More and wanting more investment down here.
We just want to make sure we're up there.
Definitely. Okay, thank you for that. So, I'm afraid a governance item.
Yeah.
No worries. Poor old Suzanne gets her own invention. I think personal Suzanne.
Hello everyone, I'm Suzanne Bennett, I'm the Chief Operating Officer of CELEP, for the new faces around the table, and I am here to talk to you about governance.
Hopefully, somewhat more briefly than some of the discussions that we've had recently. Thank you, Amy. So, the last assurance framework is the more long, I'm not going to look at you, David, make me laugh, the more long-suffering members of the board know that we are required to have an assurance framework for the partnership. Governance for LEPs over the years has evolved. When LEPs started, there were very light touch organisations. There were limited amounts of requirements from government, it's fair to say, on how LEPs operated, how they set themselves up. That has changed over the years as more money has flowed through the LEPs, taxpayers' money. So obviously we need a robust and transparent governance process to do that. Government have since 2014 issued their National Assurance Framework. This applies to LEPs and also now to the combined mayoral authorities that exist in some areas. It's not a legal document. But basically, if you haven't got a local assurance framework that isn't compliant with the national assurance framework, then you won't get any money from government. It's short and to the point fact of the matter. The NAF, so the National Assurance Framework, I try not to use too many three-letter acronyms to make it even more impenetrable. The National Assurance Framework sets out different levels of requirements. There's some very technical points in there around assessing value for money.